Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the show. What would you do if you were all set for retirement? You'd worked hard all of your life. You'd saved money. You had a nice little stash of cash. And you received a phone call to say, guess what? You have no money. It's all gone. Well, today we begin our show with Alexandra Penny, who will share the true story of living her worst nightmare and why losing it all proved to be such a priceless experience for her. I'll introduce her properly in just a moment, but I want to point out that she's a former editor-in-chief of Self magazine. And the reason I point that out is because, and this is purely coincidental, my second guest is the current editor of Self magazine. We'll end today's show with Lucy Danziger, who happens to have written a book with her friend and a psychiatrist, Dr. Catherine Berndorf. The book is called The Nine Rooms of Happiness, and they've poured all of their knowledge of women and well-being and lifestyle experience into this book. And that's coming up around 12:30. But first, I want to welcome Alexandra Penny to the show. She's a best-selling author and, as I said, the former editor-in-chief of Self magazine. She's also a great artist, and her work is shown in several places. Her base is in New York, but she's joining us today from Florida. Welcome, Alexandra Penny.
Hello, Vicki.
So you've written this book. It's called The Bag Lady Papers, The Priceless Experience of Losing It All. And I have to say, congratulations, first of all, because you have lived through your worst nightmare and you came out swinging, didn't you? Eventually.
Well, it was not a nightmare I would wish on anyone, but it actually became an adventure. The book was written because I did lose everything I'd ever saved since I was 16 to Madoff, or the MF, as I call it, and you might imagine what that means. And it really is a book about what happens when the rug is pulled out from under you. For instance, you face a foreclosure, a divorce, a bad diagnosis, loss of a job. These are all traumatic experiences. And the book started out as a blog on the Daily Beast, and because there was so much reaction to it, it morphed into a book with what strategies I used to fend off terror and panic and how to really turn my life around.
Yeah, there are a lot of really good tips in there about how you coped with this. I want to share a little of your story with our listeners because it was December 2008. You're getting ready for an intimate dinner party with a couple of friends. You live in a great apartment overlooking the East River. The phone rings and your friend Alex says what?
Alex calls, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you for a second.
Okay.
Alex calls and says, I know your money's with this man, Madoff, and he's just been arrested. At the same time, my son called and said, Mom, Madoff's been arrested. You can always come and live with us in California. I'm not about to impose on anybody. I want to keep my independence. I wanted total control over my life. And it was a wonderful offer, but there was no way I was going to take anybody up on it. I knew I had to start all over again. And at first, I was totally traumatized. I ended up taking the one tranquilizer I had in the house in case there was a death in the family, and my money had died, so I figured I better take it now. And the next morning, I woke up in total fear, and fear can either energize you or galvanize you or actually paralyze you. And I always thought if the worst thing happened, if I lost, you know, any kind of financial security, I'd be a puddle on the floor.
Right, right.
But that's what surprised me, and I think surprises a lot of people who go through this kind of catastrophe. You are much, much stronger than you think you are, and you really, really have resources that you never knew about. Again, I thought I'd be a puddle, but I just got up and I called a man who had represented me 25 years ago when I'd written another book called How to Make Love to a Man. Luckily, he remembered me. I said, I need to make money immediately because, as you said, Vicki, I'm an artist, and the art market had tanked.
Right.
So
right.
I wasn't making any money at all. I mean, a total panic.
But
you know,
just
and looking
put this
forward.
Put this in perspective, Bernie Madoff basically had got all of your money, every penny you'd saved since you were 16. Is that correct? I think I remember reading that somewhere.
Yes, I can't say how much it is because there's still lawsuits
right.
going on, and the lawyers have said you can't talk about it. But it was my savings, and it was in a 401k retirement plan. And so I did start writing on the Daily Beast, got some incredibly, insanely vitriolic comments like, you're a rich elitist, and we wish you would get cancer.
Well, tell us how that made you feel, because there was a lot of criticism of some of Bernie Madoff's investors at the time. Some media pundits said, oh, well, there's people, you know, it was seemed too good to be true, and what seems too good to be true is too good to
well,
be true.
I was making a steady 9 to 10%, which wasn't too good to be true in the days before the economic meltdown. But I called and asked to get my money out of the fund because any idiot knew that the market was tanking. And they said to me, someone will call you back and your money is totally safe. It's in U.S. Treasuries.
Right.
I still want to get it back. And no one ever called me. I got distracted. It was Thanksgiving. And then I got this call from my friend and from my son. But basically, the book, as you mentioned, is really not about... There are tons of books about Madoff. This is not one of them.
No, it's about your challenges. It's about your personal challenges. And I think that's what makes this so useful and important book, really, because it shares how, you know, an ordinary person got through this and came out swinging on the other side. Because, as you said, you could have collapsed in a puddle.
Well, I did get frantically nervous, and I started using some... I just kept thinking of how I'm going to get through this without getting into panic and anxiety attacks, and I started using three-letter acronyms like AAA, Activity Alleviates Anxiety. So I would clean the house if I started getting really anxious. I would start any kind of physical activity that would just focus me on the activity, and then I said, okay, no self-pity. You can allow yourself self-pity 1 or 2 minutes a day at most, and you can rant out loud for 30 seconds.
Right.
So I kept that down to a complete minimum. It takes discipline. The whole thing is you have to control your racing brain. Your brain is what's going to race to the worst catastrophes. For instance, if I let myself think about maybe I'll get a terrible diagnosis tomorrow or something else can happen to me, I just do SNT, stop negative thinking, and SFT, stop future thinking. I'm talking to Vicki. The day is getting sunny here. I'm having a good conversation. I'm not some sort of cockeyed optimist kind of thing, but mm-hmm. I've gotten to really understand and believe this whole thing of grab the present, seize the minute, and it really is true. These cliches of smell the roses. I now sit and make myself a cup of coffee in the morning. No more Starbucks for me, but
right.
I found a good cheap brand of coffee. And my first sip, I sit back and I say, I'm enjoying this cup of coffee right now. I'm fine. I'm here. Nothing terrible is happening. I'm having a great cup of coffee. So with all of this kind of figuring out these strategies of, like, now how to be stylish and look terrific without, you know, spending money, I had to figure this out. And, for instance, with I always wanted to keep my hair color. Otherwise, I always thought I'd look awful if I didn't have, you know, like, highlights. So I tried to figure out, how am I going to do this since my guy's really expensive? And I asked him if he would barter. And the interesting thing is I've never asked for anything before. It's very painful for me to ask for something. And I learned a lesson that if you ask, even though it takes tremendous amount of, you have to get your nerve up to do it, that about 70% of the time somebody will say yes. He said, sure, I'd love, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I'll take a portrait of you. And he said, great, that's terrific, we can do that. If I hadn't been a photographer or an artist, I would have said, I'll barter cleaning your closet or cook you a great meal one night a week for as long as it takes.
And you bartered for all kinds of things, veneers on your teeth. I mean, you really made a practice of this, yeah.
I mean, you have all kinds of resources. For instance, if you can type, you can go and get, you know, computing work, because that's always needed. I would have scrubbed floors. And so I learned all of these ways to really come out on top. The thing is, it wasn't depressing. It was kind of exhilarating, because you would say, wow, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
And everybody can do this. I mean, it's a matter of putting your mind, I guess, in the right mindset, knowing other people have gone through what you're going through, and setting your goal. You have to have sort of a laser-like focus. I had to make money to pay the bills the next day.
Right. So, well, we're going to take a quick break, Alexandra. And when we come back, I want to ask you some of the changes that, you know, more some of the intrinsic changes in yourself. What you're talking, I'm talking with Alexandra Penny, and her book is called The Bag Lady Papers, The Priceless Experience of Losing It All. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Coming next Monday on Conversations Live, there are those who have it and those who don't. We're talking about mojo. And whether you've lost yours or never had it, Marshall Goldsmith will tell you about how to find your mojo and keep it. We'll also talk with best-selling novelist Lisa Lutz about her comic mystery series, The Spellmans. Please join us next Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for more information.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Alexandra Penny. She is an artist, best-selling author, former editor-in-chief of Self magazine. And she worked hard her whole life, saved her money, had every penny of it invested with Bernie Madoff, and lost it all in his Ponzi scheme. So she's written this great book called The Bag Lady Papers, but it's not about Bernie Madoff. I won't use the name she calls him, but it's not about him. It's about Alexandra's personal experience and what she's learned from this, how she learned to adapt, and how she had to start all over again at retirement age. And I know one of the things you said in the book, Alexandra, was that age is not important. You said some of the blog readers became obsessed with your age, and they rated you anywhere between 45 and 89, but you said it's not important. Age is not important. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I was talking to somebody about this. They said, you never mention your age. And they said, well, chronological age right now has nothing to do with it. I have to start all over, so I've got to, you know, consider that I'm really young. And it was someone from the Midwest, and she said, you know, ageism here is one of the worst problems about getting a job and being let go. And so ageism is a big issue in our society. I just kind of blindly go along and say, I am starting all over, and what can I live with and what can I live without? And this is one of the big issues. And what's amazing is you can live without so many things you thought were absolutely essential. I mean, the day after this happened, I had to call every, you know, utility and every, like, TV thing and say, I've got to cut down and cut back. And I thought it would be a horrible thing. But I sure don't mind cutting back at Starbucks. I don't mind cutting back premium TV. I don't mind cutting back on almost everything, clothing. There are certain things I couldn't cut back on. We mentioned hair color.
Right. Well,
but I learned.
It's all relative, right?
I learned to barter. What you experience is, and again, this sounds cliche, but it's not. You begin to realize very clearly what it is that you need to make your life worthwhile and pleasant. And you can do away with most of the stuff that doesn't, or you do away with it. And you're left with this kind of great feeling of a lightness. Well, I don't need to buy so many clothes. Oh, well, I don't need to take so many vacations, even though I would still like to travel very much and I can't do it as I did. It's not this huge loss. Mm. And everybody feels, oh, if my worst fears come true, I will be undone. You're just so much stronger than you think you are. It's amazing.
Mm. And ironically, and there are some who would say maybe you manifested this, but your worst fear had always been being a bag lady, losing your money. You never did become a bag lady, obviously. But you write in the book about how you, your fears, you imagined that, you know, you might end up in a rusted out car or living in a room with green paint peeling off it. So those first few days, I'm guessing, were probably the most challenging for you because, I mean, I should imagine you were in denial. Yeah.
I was never in denial. I knew this was happening big time. There was not a second of denial. What there was this immediate need, which blanked out everything else. I've got to make money to pay the bills. And I didn't know how to make the money or how I was going to do it. And that's what your immediate fear is. How am I going to cope with this? And what happens is that your mind goes into this, I guess, adrenaline state, and you start thinking about all the things you could do in a positive, at least I did, in a positive way. As I said, I never allowed negative thinking or self-pity to come into it, except for a couple minutes a day, because, I mean, I'm only human, obviously.
Obviously,
but,
no.
You really have to focus on, in my case, it was financial survival. In the case of, let's say, your husband or your wife comes in and says, I want a divorce, and you're totally unprepared for it, you have to survive, have an emotional survival. And you need to right yourself immediately. Otherwise, I think you can get into sort of a morass of despair.
Yeah, you
and
talk...
I just wasn't...
I'm sorry. You talk in the book about how you would wake up and just want to, like, you know, curl up in a ball, but you didn't. You jumped out of bed. I mean, these are all choices that we make to move forward. And I was saying during the break, you really have a great attitude, and that comes from choice.
Well, I didn't know I had a great attitude. It just happens. What choice do you really have?
Mm-hmm.
You can have a good attitude or a miserable attitude. And to me, why choose the negative? I mean, you've got to make the best of it. It's happened. Nobody's going to undo it. So who's going to try and figure it out except you?
Yeah.
First of all, the other thing that came through incredibly was your friends really, really, really come through. And I was just astonished at the generosity of the human spirit. I mean, as I said, people called me also, not friends, from the blog, and two people offered me their homes to live in. And luckily I said, well, right now I don't think I have to move. As long as I can sell this book and make some money. Who knows what tomorrow's going to bring? As I said, I just don't think about that.
Yeah, you talked about the acronyms you used in the book. You know, Bernie Madoff's is MF, and Major Lifesavers were your friends, MLS. You talk about them as MLSs.
The Major Lifesavers.
Yes. What do you think you learned about yourself? What was the biggest thing you learned about yourself during this period ongoing?
The biggest thing, and I think anybody facing what I did, as I said, in having the rug pulled out from under you cannot really believe or know how strong you really are. You don't fall apart. It's what I learned was I totally surprised myself.
Mm.
And it was like a gift. It gives you sort of a freedom to say, well, I have faced my worst fears, and I'll be okay. I am okay.
Yeah.
So what, you know, I can do this again. And that's an incredibly liberating feeling.
Yes, yes, most definitely. Once you know and trust that you can trust in yourself, that is very liberating. What about trust in others? Obviously, there was a severe break in trust with your investors. So how do you fear? Do you trust others now?
You know, it's... somebody else did ask me that recently, and I hadn't thought about it. I'm a very trusting person, and I'm not going to change. Mm-hmm. I'm still very trusting. About money, I was very careful then. I did my homework. I checked out the MF in every possible way, and everybody said this is a good thing to do. I'm talking about, you know, serious financial people and people from Harvard Business School. But I simply will go on trusting. It's my nature and it's my character. Some people are much more wary than I am, and they probably would be more wary, but I'm staying as trusting as I always was.
Mm. What would you like our listeners to know about your experience and how you came through that?
Sorry, Vicki, you faded on that one. Can you say it again?
Yeah. What would you like to leave our listeners with today? What would you like them to know about themselves and about the experience? What would you like to leave them with?
That if your worst fears come true, and they can be as bad as you imagined them, there's no getting around that. This was as bad as I imagined. But you will completely, I promise you, surprise yourself at how resilient, how strong, and how inventive you can be about dealing with your worst fears.
Mm.
And also, it's about controlling your mind. And you have total control until you have no mind left. So you haven't lost control of your life.
Right.
You just have to remember that constantly.
Right. Well, I thank you for being with us today. Interesting story. You tell it very well. The Bag Lady Papers has been described as an inspiring book that shares how one woman faced her personal nightmare with wit, style, grace, and the occasional tranquilizer. surprised herself by coming out on top. And listeners can find out more about you at alexandrapenny.com. I checked out some of your artwork on there. It was really interesting. So I was really interested with the doll-like characters photographs.
Yeah.
There. So I'd encourage listeners to check you out. Now, I'm going to spell out your website because your name is Alexandra Penny, AlexandraPenney. Alexandra Penny, I appreciate you being with us today, and I wish you all the best.
I enjoyed it very much, Vicki.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Bye-bye. And please do stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking with the current editor-in-chief of Self Magazine. She's written a new book. It's called The Nine Rooms of Happiness, and it's based on a they use the house as a metaphor to talk about women's issues and why women tend to focus on one little thing that's going wrong and ignore everything else that's going right. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
You'll find your fortunes falling all over the town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicky St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicky asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate, making a difference, one word at a time.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
From heaven for you and me.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my next guest is Lucy Danziger. She's been the editor-in-chief of Self Magazine for over 8 years and has grown the circulation to over 6 million monthly readers. She co-authored a book with her friend, who is also a psychiatrist, Dr. Catherine Berndorf. Dr. Catherine Berndorf is the founding director of the Payne Whitney Women's Program at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Cornell Medical Center. And both women live in New York City. Now, they've written a book called The Nine Rooms of Happiness, Loving Yourself, Finding Your Purpose, and Getting Over Life's Little Imperfections. And because of scheduling problems, I pre-recorded this with Lucy, and we're going to bring that recording to you right now for the first time. Lucy Danziger, welcome to the show today. Great book, and I'm really pleased to have you on the show. I want to ask you to tell our listeners a little bit about the book, The Nine Rooms of a House, Loving Yourself, Finding Your Purpose, and Getting Over Life's Little Imperfections. Tell us a little bit about the book, who you wrote it for, how it came about.
I think life's little imperfections is the hard part. I always say that we deal with the big things with grace and heroism, but it's the little things, the last 5 pounds, the bills on the desk, the fight with a loved one or the friend who's upset with you, that can rob your happiness day after day. So I approached Catherine Berndorf, who is Self's mental health expert. She's a psychiatrist in New York dealing with women's issues. And she and I decided to write a book for women so that we can help them be happier in every room of their emotional house. You can live in a hut, a cottage, but your emotional house has many, many rooms. So the Nine Rooms of Happiness helps you figure out what room you're in. We interviewed hundreds of women and said, what's bringing you down? So if it's the last 5 pounds, that brings you to the bathroom. If it's a relationship issue, that's in the bedroom, you know, and on through the house. The family room is for your nearest and dearest. I say they have to love you even when you yell at each other, like my brother. For the living room, those are your friends. For the office, that's where you cope with all sorts of work and purpose and money issues. And a lot of women say, well, I have a physical mess that's bringing me down. I say, well, that's the kitchen. That's where you deal with the chores and who does what. And you kind of huddle up with your family and decide who's going to pick up somebody from soccer or who's going to do the, you know, the laundry or the dinner. So all these rooms are very connected. And the first step is to figure out what room are you in.
And how do you do it? How do you go about doing that?
Well, that's where you ask yourself the question, if everything is going right, what's the one thing that's bringing me down? You can have 8 neat and tidy rooms, and you're going to focus on the mess. And we say, you know what? You can close the door. You can come back later. You have the power to decide when to deal with that mess. So I'll have a fight with my daughter about she don't want to wear a coat to school. We have this raging fight on the way to work. I get to the office, and I can either go into a meeting and say, oh, fighting with my daughter. Or I can close the door, have a great meeting, have a great day, come home, say, oh, my God, I had a great day at work. We really accomplished a lot. By the way, I'm sorry about the fight. And she'll say, what fight? And I realize, oh, my God, you know what? You can close the door. And you can have a mess and not focus on the mess. When I had a dollhouse as a girl, I couldn't play in the living room if the, you know, upstairs was a mess or furniture was knocked over. So I get the fact that we focus on that one thing going wrong.
Yeah, we tend to make everything, like we have one issue and it becomes all pervasive. Everything in our life is going wrong. And I think women are more prone to do that than men. Would you agree on that?
Oh, yes. I mean, my husband finally read the book and he said to me something interesting. He said, you know, women seem to have trouble dealing with conflict. A man doesn't have that same problem. They can say to a friend, hey, I'm not going to meet you tonight. Or they can say in a meeting, I don't love that idea. But the problem with women is we hate conflict. We want to help everyone around us. We want to be the person who everyone can turn to. And we have these strategies in the book. Once you're in the right room, we help you figure out the pattern of behavior that's bringing you down and then how to switch that and think of a new strategy. And one of the strategies I love, we call the relationship equation. Let's say your mom is calling you incessantly or nagging you and wants to see you. And rather than be nasty or hang up for the 18th millionth time, you can change that relationship. You're not going to change her, but you can change yourself. So Catherine says, a woman comes to her office and says, my mom's driving me crazy. And she said, that's good news. You're here. She's not. But if you use A plus B equals C, which we call the relationship equation, you're A, mom's B, the outcome, your relationship is C. Just by changing you, which is A, you can change the outcome.
Yeah.
You're not going to change B, but you can change C. So if A plus B equals C, think about someone in your life you're having a conflict with. Let's say mom gets calls from her friends. How's your daughter? How's your daughter? She's in the living room not adequately, you know, owning up to the fact that she doesn't really know how her daughter is. You're going to call your mom and you're going to say, mom, let's have lunch. I'm free Tuesday. Let's have a nice mother-daughter lunch. We'll have an hour and a half together. We can catch up. You can ask me anything you want and we'll talk. Now her friends call, how's your daughter? And she goes, well, I'm having lunch with her on Tuesday. I'll let you know. She can dine out on that for a week and she stops calling you.
Right.
You've changed A. You can't change B, but you have changed C. You have changed that relationship.
Yeah.
And the conflict goes away. Suddenly you don't feel like a bad daughter. You're not letting her down. The conflict, you've dealt with the conflict.
And a lot of it is about being honest.
Let me give you 9 of these, and it's really fun. It really works.
Yeah. You talk in the book about bad compromise, and it's a little in line with what you were just talking about. You gave an example of you were at a work meeting, and this is something that, you know, millions of women run into.
Right.
You have a business meeting. Your son is racing. You've got to race across town to get to the races. You get there late.
Yeah, I literally had a panic attack that day. I will never forget the day that I missed my son's field day. His most anticipated race. He couldn't even sleep the night before. He was so nervous. I knew he could win it. He's a little sprinter. And I got there late, and all the parents were saying, wow, did you see him? He was great. And I realized I was new at my job, and I didn't want to let anybody else down. That comes down to too much of a good thing's a bad thing. I'm trying to be a good boss. I'm trying to be good to everyone around me. You have to know your limits. You have to be able to honestly say to somebody, I'm not going to try to, you know, have that meeting and rush through the meeting and then rush uptown and rush to the races and get there late. It's a bad compromise,
yeah,
which means you've done everything badly. So rather than make everything go badly, know your limits, which means really you can be strong to help others. And you're going to be strong. You're going to say to your friends and colleagues at work, that meeting is going to conflict with something I really want to do. And let's have the meeting another time. We can do it in the afternoon, the next day, the night before, whatever. So then you say to your son, I'm going to work uptown and I'm going to make sure I get to your race on time and I'm going to get there early to make sure I see you. Now suddenly you've created win-win situations. But women don't like to admit any kind of weakness. They want to be able to do it all, be superwoman. And the truth is we can't. We have to know our limits. They say in the airlines, put your oxygen mask on before you help the person next to you.
Absolutely.
Same thing. It's not selfish. It's self-preservation. So part of what I have learned, I'm teaching in the lessons in this book, and we talked to 100 women about the things they've learned. We've talked to, you know, obviously Catherine in her practice sees this all the time. We really try to bring universal situations to the page to help women feel happier and not feel conflict and compromise and, you know, guilty.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that even as editor-in-chief of Self Magazine, one of the, you know, the top magazines out there, you still have these conflicts on a daily basis.
I'm still human. And Catherine, my co-author, who is a psychiatrist, is also still human. We say, you know, people wouldn't think that experts at being healthy and happy have issues. I do. I still like chocolate ice cream. I don't always eat the perfect foods. I don't always, you know, do the perfect
food. Right, right.
Because we're human beings, we've learned so much and we want to teach other people. But, you know, it's a process.
Yeah.
I'm a work in progress, as we all are.
As we all are. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we'll continue talking with Lucy Danziger. Her new book is called The Nine Rooms of Happiness. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Thanks for joining us on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. If you have comments or questions on any of our shows, we want to hear from you. Email info@conversationslive.net. Call Vicky toll-free at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. Or leave a message at our special listener voicemail box, 206-414-6159. That's 206-414-6159. 414-6159.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Like a lover's
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest in this segment is editor-in-chief of Self Magazine, Lucy Danziger. She co-authored with Dr. Catherine Berndorf a great book. It's called The Nine Rooms of Happiness, Loving Yourself, Finding Your Purpose, and Getting Over Life's Little Imperfections. And Lucy, you have a website to go with this. Tell us what that is.
Right. One of the things that we realized when we were doing the book is the book has about 100 stories in them, but every woman has stories, and every woman's grappling with her own happiness day to day in all the rooms of her emotional house. So the website is called ninerooms.com, and we've asked women to bring us the mess of the day. You know, is it the bills? Is it a fight? Is it too much on your to-do list? We are going to help you clean up that mess of the day. We're going to give you strategies to solve your own problems And really, if we do our jobs right, we're going to put Catherine Burndorf and all the psychiatrists out of business, because we want women to have these strategies for themselves. And on the website, you can share strategies and enter discussions, and we have something called a pearl. And a pearl is that little takeaway that you can remember, hold in your pocket and play with, to not have to do all that work all over again, just to remind you, okay, conflict is okay. I can, you know, go on vacation and people at work are going to be okay with it. And they may say, oh, you're going to miss an important meeting or something. Conflict is okay. And the sooner you learn that and you're okay with it, you can breathe easier and understand that that's part of life. And it actually can create new creative solutions to problems.
Yeah. Now, you put this book together. I mean, obviously, it took a while. You interviewed 100 women. What was the biggest pearl of wisdom that you took away from all of the interviews you did? What did you learn about yourself?
Okay, well, there are a couple I like. One is the conflict one. I'm very bad at conflict, but I realize whether you're watching Friends or, you know, Sex and the City, some of the best moments between friends is when they're disagreeing, and that's okay. The strategy there is it's not either or, it's both and, meaning you don't either have to agree with everything your friends say or not be your friend. You can both have an argument or a disagreement and be best friends. So you can love someone and not have everything in common with that person. And that's really helpful to me. And I understand that the love is bigger than the conflict, and that's important. Another one I loved is the Venn diagram of our relationships. My husband and I have so much in common, but there are some things we don't have in common. And we all love Jerry Maguire, where he says to her, you complete me. But that's not really the goal. The goal is to come to a relationship as a whole person. So if you create a circle with your fingers and thumb, and you create one with the other hand, you overlap them. The overlap is the relationship. You're that whole circle, your honey is the whole circle, and the overlap is what you share. And there's going to be parts outside that overlap that you don't share, and that's okay too. So we like to say, instead of thinking you complete me, think you complement me. We overlap.
Yes.
And that's a very healthy way to be.
Yeah, a much better way to be.
When he wants to tinker in the garage or you want to go off with your gal pals and do something, it's great. Do it. Don't feel guilty about that. Come back together and have that overlap. I try to spend a significant amount of time walking the dog with my husband and I to download each other about the day we had, so I can hear what's happening in his world and he can hear the little details of my world. And then when something big happens at work, the context is there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You were having trouble with that before, you know, rather than, oh, you know, you don't even know the beginning. I can't tell you the end, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Try to overlap and try to share something every day with that significant other and keep that connection. But you don't have to be completing each other. You just have to overlap and complement each other.
Yeah, much, much healthier way of being. I want to talk about balance, because this is another huge issue on every that comes out of everybody's mouth at one point, you know, I'm trying to find balance. You share a story of Christy in the book, and I could certainly relate to this one. She moved to New York for her work. She says, I miss my family, but I want a career, and she didn't know how to do it, you know, have her career and have her be with her family. Her major conflict was, how do you reconcile following your dream and moving away from the people you love? This is something that's happened to, you know, thousands of people. I know people up here who've, you know, had to leave their family in Connecticut to come to Seattle to get a job.
It's so hard. I think that's a tough one. And I think women who pursue their dreams should be really rewarded for that. And what I say to them is, focus on the work and what you love and what gives you purpose, because your family wants you to be happy. And there are going to be moments where you feel sad that you're missing out on the little things. You know, you might get back to the weddings or the big things, but you're going to miss some of the little things. And you have to tell yourself, they want you to be happy. You want to be happy. And you can pursue those dreams, and you should feel that those are important things to do. And obviously with Skype and iChat and everything else, texting, we can stay in touch. But honestly, that is one of the toughest things for women, is feeling like you're leaving your home family for this other dream. Mm-hmm. I will say, we tell women, go to the 10th room. This is a kind of a space to think. It doesn't have to be a room. For me, I jog or I bike, or for some women, it's knitting or commuting or whatever, folding laundry. It's wherever you can think. If you can realize what makes you happy and brings you passion That leads to your finding your purpose, finding meaning. And then when the mess is hit, whether it's the mess of a kid's room or missing your family, you can remind yourself what that purpose and meaning really is, and it can help you get through the chaos or the mess of the moment. I like to say I can be emptying the dishwasher, but if I know what my passion and purpose and meaning is all about, then I can be happy.
Right.
You know, and for me, that I found that in writing this book. I found that in editing the magazine. And that does mean it takes me away from my kids sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, my son and I don't see each other as much as I'd like because I'm a working mom. But, you know, he knows I'm happy and he's proud of me. And I know he's happy and I'm proud of him and we love each other. And you don't love somebody less just because you spend less time with them.
Right. And I think you're setting a good role model by being happy, by pursuing dreams, by, you know, overcoming challenges. I think that's one of the best role models you can set for a child.
One of the things I always say to my kids is I'm really happy and I hope that in their life they find a sense of purpose. I mean, everybody defines success differently. That's where the addict comes in, you know, these family expectations. You know, you're from a long line of doctors and everybody wants you to be a doctor, but maybe you don't want to be a doctor. You know, maybe you want to be a fashion designer or a journalist, or you have to find what brings you purpose and meaning, and only you can decide that.
Yeah, and I do.
Family really loves you. They'll support you and love you and want you to be happy.
Absolutely. And I do. I mean, I remember reading in the book that you said you've had to work at being happier. It doesn't just come. You've had to work at it.
The nice thing, though, that is true. The nice thing I will say is we know from studies about set point that 50% of your happiness may be inborn, and 10% more might be the circumstances of your life, like where you live, you know. Once your basic needs are met, you're not going to be happier if you're rich and famous and glamour. That doesn't bring happiness. Study after study says that people who are rich are not necessarily happy, even though we'd all like some more pocket change. But the truth is, you are responsible for 40% of your own happiness. That's within your control. And so we're trying to say every day, as you look at your life, try to use some of the strategies in the 9 rooms of happiness and be happier. Because you can't control all the circumstances around you. You can only control how you react to them. And that's the important part.
Yeah. And I just want to read this. Dr. Catherine Berndorf, your co-author of 9 Rooms of Happiness, said this. She said, balance is a beam you try to walk in grade school. The whole notion being that if you're trying to balance on a beam there, it sets you up for falling off the beam. I liked that. I like that a lot.
We always say things like, balance is a beam you walk in grade school. Juggling only works till you drop one of the pins.
Right.
You know, women have these high wire acts that they're trying to pull off. It's just not realistic. And what you have to decide is what your priority is right now and then do that thing. And that's where closing the doors really helps, because you can walk away from a mess and come back later. It doesn't have to all be perfect all at once for you to be happy. In fact, it can't be. It will never be perfect all at once. But I like to think of perfect moments. I mean, I remember walking down the beach with my son and my daughter, and they were skipping along the water's edge, and I thought, oh, my God, this is a perfect moment. Rather than concentrate on my thighs or something else that maybe I didn't like about my body or the bills waiting on my desk back at the, you know, house, I wanted to just appreciate that perfect moment. And I realized they come and you need to appreciate them. You can't hold on to happiness every minute, but if you appreciate those moments when they do arrive, you're a lucky person.
Yeah, absolutely. What were the most common issues when you interviewed these women? What were the most common issues? What were the most worrisome?
You know, a lot of women worry they're disappointing somebody else, and they feel like if everyone's not happy with them, that's very upsetting to them. So whether they're letting down a friend or a boss, not a boss so much, like coworkers or their parents, they don't want to let anyone down. And yet, they never ask if they're letting themselves down. And one of the things I really want women to think about when they read the 9 Rooms of Happiness is, what is it that you want? And this is not selfish. It's okay to ask, you know, what is it that's going to make you happy? Because if you're happy, you're going to make everybody around you happier. So really, when you think about that in that space, that tenth room space where you can go think, that's really the key to it all, you know? And you're going to be able to make other people happy. Maybe not everyone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
but you don't need to try.
Right.
You need to know your limits and say, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that, and it's okay if you can't do everything for everyone else. The minute you realize that, you stop having all that inner conflict. One of the things that I realized is I used to stress eat, and I was a good deal heavier than I am now, 20, 25 pounds heavier. I was thinking about all the ways that I wish I'd been a better person that day, and it was just driving me nuts. And so instead of thinking, like, what do I want to eat, I think, well, what's eating me? And a lot of women need to stop internalizing their stress and think, I want to take care of the inner self, and that'll help take care of the outer self.
That sounds
and
good.
I will be a better person inside and out if I take care of myself.
Yeah, I think that's very true for many people. I've got to let you go because I know you're really busy. You're on the radio all day today. I've really enjoyed talking with you. What's a quick thought you'd like to leave our listeners with, Lucy?
That you are in charge of your own happiness, and it's all in you. You can do it. So I want them to have the strategies in the nine rooms of happiness, but I just really want women to feel empowered to be happy today.
Great. And your website is ninerooms.com, and nine is spelled out N-I-N-E. And I thank you so much for being with us, Lucy Danziger.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And that was Lucy Danziger. She co-authored a book, again, The Nine Rooms of Happiness, but she co-authored this, and I need to give her co-author a mention here, Dr. Catherine Berndorf. They're actually friends, and Catherine specializes as a psychiatrist in women's issues. So I want to just take a moment to chat about something that we have coming up on the Third Monday series, which is where we look at business and career lifestyles. We often talk with people who've created their own unique lifestyle. Like last week, we talked with Heidi Ganahl, who created Camp Bow Wow and has now made a $40 million business servicing dogs, looking after dogs. So I've partnered up with Joyce Chapman, who actually is, I have to say, is my coach. I just started working with Joyce and have made incredible progress since I started working with her on the things that I want to work on. But we wanted to bring this to you, and this is a totally free service. We want to, if you have a question that you would like to work, ask a coach, if you are stuck, if you're struggling, if you feel you are stuck in a comfort zone and you keep looking backwards and forwards, or you keep falling down that black hole, if you don't even know what you want to do when you grow up, and you know, I wish I had a buck for every time I heard that from a friend, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, then this is an opportunity for you to get your questions answered, maybe to get you on track and start moving forward to living your dream. And that's what this is all about. Joyce is a dream coach. She specializes in helping people bust through that myth that, you know, living your dream is a fantasy. And I'm going to ask, you know, people that I know what's their major concern, but what I really want to hear from is you. And I'm going to ask Eric if he's got any too. Do you have any questions you want to throw out there? Think about it and you can let me know. But we really want to address questions that are important to you, to people listening.
Absolutely. Well, if people do want to ask Joyce Chapman a question, how do they do that?
They can reach us through, I'd like them to send an email to me, Vicky, V-I-C-K-I, at conversationslive.net. And everything's totally confidential. We don't share your information with anyone. The only person that I will pass on the question to is Joyce Chapman, obviously. And we're actually going to do a pre-recorded segment so that we can make the most of that segment and get as much information out as possible. You know, I know a lot of people who'd like to work with a coach, and because of the economic environment, can't do that right now.
Right.
So this is really just an opportunity to get some questions answered. You know, ultimately the answers are all within us, but Joyce is great at bringing that information out from you. I feel like I've had a good workout when I've spent an hour with her.
A mental workout.
I feel invigorated. I feel ready to conquer the world.
Now, we had her on the show last week for her inaugural segment of this series. And what are the kind of questions that people might ask Joyce as far as that you're looking for? I mean, I guess it could be any question, but we're talking about achieving your dreams. Mostly that's what she is about as far as, you know, she's the dream coach, really, isn't she?
Right. She really is a master at getting you to believe. The belief has to come from you, mm-hmm. but she believes that we can all do what we put our minds to, and it's a case of letting go of those limiting beliefs and discovering patterns that maybe are negative and self-sabotaging. You know, many of us do self-sabotage ourselves. Yeah. I self-sabotage myself in some areas.
Oh yeah, we all do.
Yeah, and it's very annoying.
So it is very annoying.
So I know we're coming right to the end of our segment now. So I just really encourage you, please, if you have a stumbling block, if you have a loop there, send me an email, vicky@conversationslive.net. Call our 800 number at 495-7617 or go to the website conversationslive.net. There's more information on the homepage. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back next week.
I'm going to work on my email as soon as we're done here.
There you go. Until then, live well, live strong.
Coming next Monday on Conversations Live, there are those who have it and those who don't. We're talking about mojo. And whether you've lost yours or never had it, Marshall Goldsmith will tell you about how to find your mojo and keep it. We'll also talk with best-selling novelist Lisa Lutz about her comic mystery series, The Spellmans. Please join us next Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for more information. Views.